friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah, let's get it, New York City. Right back at it on The Fan. Dial 888-808-1019 one time. The Mets come back and win. They make it happen. My favorite Met, El Troll, is back, a.k.a. the best. Yeah, he gets it done. And a ton of fans are out there to see him. To the victor go the spoils. We'll start there. Oh, the Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees lost again in Toronto. I don't know if they're going to win a game out there. They don't seem to care. They go through the motions pretty well. And, you know, they got plenty of time. No urgency. Not a big deal. You know, line up your best pitchers for Toronto. And you got to score more than one run. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Another KM to AM. You've got me till 2 a.m. You know, that's two wins in a row for the Mets after the Mets don't get swept. That is the 24th comeback win of the season for the Make It Happen Mets. These are my Mets. I don't hate the Mets. They're 13 games above 500, something like that. Let me check the standings. You know, when I look at the Mets right now in the standings and I look at Philly, you know, they got lucky tonight. But I look at where they are just a game back. Yes, 13 games above 500, 57-44. With David Stearns speaking today, we'll play some audio from David Stearns meeting the media. I give him credit. He does this consistently. I like that about the guy. He doesn't duck the New York media. With the trade deadline looming and, you know, you getting one of the baby Mets back, Francisco Alvarez, tonight, a loud standing O for him. Carlos Mendoza just mentioned it in the post game, 41,000 plus. So still a good carryover of, you know, the crowd that was there for David Wright weekend and the bobblehead and the ceremony. Still had a good crowd out there tonight. And the Mets don't let you down. Now, they had every reason to lay down. They had every reason to back down. They had every reason behind Kodai Senga tonight to say, you know what? Kodai Senga is not going to go deep into the game. And for the three innings that he gave us, he gave up four earned runs. And, you know, it's tough. Put us in a little bit of a hole against the Angels in the outfield. And the Angels, don't sleep on the Angels. They beat the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. They just went down there and beat Philly. Like, they've got a little bit of a scrappy team, and they've got some guys you don't know, some guys you do know, but they find ways to compete and win. And, you know, they took the early lead in this game, and then here comes Brett Beatty Bonds. Here's another hit, Barry Bonds, another homer to cut the lead in half. And so you're saying, all right, we're not out of this yet. And before we go any further, I mean, the Mets will roll out anybody from that bullpen. And we're so quick to blame Carlos Mendoza, Steady Mendy, for bullpen management, bullpen decisions, pulling starters early. I even heard somebody just now ask if Kodai Senga, any thought to giving Kodai Senga another batter? No. But when a guy like Kevin Hergett, I don't even know who these guys are. You know, when he can come out and go 2 1/3, only give up two hits, and get you through there clean, great. Great. And then you hand the ball to the rest of the pen, and they don't do much besides Chris Devinsky giving up one. But they hold it down. You're able to go get a bunch of outs from your bullpen. You're able to turn to the pen. Brazoban, clean. Brooks Raley, all right, this time, good. And then Edwin Diaz, super solid all-star, one of the best, looks elite again tonight with the trumpet sounding. And the Mets win, they put it in the books, and the fans can feel good about where they are with Francisco Alvarez, who looked sharp defensively as well, back behind the dish, made a good tag on the Brett Beatty throw. Another thing with Brett Beatty, like I was reading an article today about the Mets trading some of their infield depth, And it's been a little bit of a merry-go-round of, like, who do you like best? Mauricio, Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos coming back. I don't know if you can trade Brett Beatty. You know, and Stern spoke about seeing progress from some of their young players. It's interesting, right? Because with this trade deadline looming, we're looking at the team's pre-trade deadline, and every day we get closer here. Now it is 10 days from the trade deadline. We know there's going to be some new players. We know there's going to potentially be some guys that you're watching every day that are going to get sent packing. But, you know, you got to still win these games leading up and hope that other teams that are fringe teams lose so that you can steal some of their players and they're out of it. Regardless, the Mets and the Yankees aren't going to be out of it. It is imperative that they stack wins going into this deadline and then they go get who they need. They both need bullpen help, obviously. They both could use another bat in the lineup. We'll talk through all of that as we've been for the last couple weeks or so. And, you know, I don't know. I look at the Mets tonight. Don't let me leave out the generational Juan Soto. I look at the Mets tonight and I say that's a win that could start something here. That's a win that gives you some confidence here. Your lineup, your offense not being able to score coming off of the disappointment of David Wright weekend, which I said was going to be a festival for Mets fans. The block party, the ceremony, the bobblehead. I'm like, this is going to be one of those weekends you remember. And you know what? They're going to remember the ceremony forever. But you'll remember the team, you know, laying an egg against the Reds, only being able to score a handful of runs. I mean, and they only scored 3 runs yesterday. Juan Soto hustling, tagging. And then Juan Soto today comes up big, not with a homer, not with a double, but just does enough, right? How many times have you seen Juan Soto come up with bases loaded or 2 runners on and not be able to come through? And then you say, where's the return on investment? They're paying this guy so much. Juan Soto ties the game when they're down 5-3 with a 2-run single, and that place is alive because it's Juan Soto. That place is alive because it's a new game. And they're able to handle business. Francisco Alvarez almost homered. Francisco Alvarez hitting that ball off the wall. It just reminded me that, hey, he just came back from AAA hitting a homer every other day. He does that, and the Mets are able to rally and come back. I don't know. I'll keep fishing for different things from this game. But all in all, that's a good win, and it's a team win. And even guys like Lindor, right? Lindor being able to hustle. Lindor driving in an RBI. Like, he grounds into a force out, but he's running hard, and maybe that breaks him out of it. Tomorrow, you'll see the debut of Cafe Con Lindor. I don't know exactly what it is, but it looks like there's some type of YouTube show debuting with Francisco Lindor. I don't know. Maybe they have coffee and sit down and talk to Lindor about stuff. That's at 12 p.m. tomorrow, so all I'm saying here is it's a good night for the Met and the Met fans, for the Mets and Mets fans. A comeback win in your building where home field advantage does still exist. 888-808-1019. Speaking of home field advantage, up there in the Rogers Center in Toronto, yeah, they're rolling. And the Yankees can't do anything with them up there. It's bell to ass no matter what the Yankees do. And the Toronto Blue Jays have now won 11 straight games at home. Their franchise record, and the Yankees haven't won a single game up there. At the end of the game today, which we'll go through it quickly, and there's only a couple things. There's only a couple things that stood out to me why they lost this game. Chris Kirschner writes, the Yankees will have to win the final 5 games against the Blue Jays to get the head-to-head tiebreaker. Yeah, doubt it. The final 5 games. You've got 2 more in the 6, and then they'll come to the Bronx for 3. And there's just something about this Blue Jays team that is just the opposite of the Yankees. They don't strike out. They will take their walks. You give them an inch and they will take a mile. They put the ball into play. They put pressure on the defense. They have speed and they are running to first. And if you even think for a second about them running to first and throw a ball that pulls the first baseman off of first base, gotcha, run scores. So, I mean, ultimately in the Yankee game, 888-808-1019, Yankee fans can call up and cry. Met fans call up and celebrate your win. Ultimately in this Yankees game, solo shot's not going to do it. Like, that's not going to cut it. Yeah, before we even go to Volpe and Peraza, and, like, one solo shot in the fourth inning is not going to get it done. Stan with the, you know, being a singles hitter, hitting the ball in Atlanta, and Stan was great over the weekend, and you knew he was due to homer, but it's got to be more than just Giancarlo Stan. You take Cody Bellinger out of the lineup, and I have numbers. I have things for why they took Bellinger out of the lineup, but play your best players. Play one of your best hitters against a team that you need to beat. Against a Toronto team that has had your number, that is ahead of you in the division standings. Like, I don't know, you lined up Carlos Rodon to face these guys, and Carlos Rodon didn't have his best stuff, but I don't trust Carlos Rodon in a big spot. And also, I'm not even mad at Carlos Rodon because he did enough today. Honestly, I put two runs on him. You know, Alejandro Kirk got after him a bit, and he walked too many guys. That's what I mean about giving them an inch. They're going to take a mile. He walked too many guys. You can't be walking guys. You can't be walking a guy batting 95. You can't be walking guys at the bottom of the order. You can't give them anything. You can't issue leadoff walks. But ultimately, the Yankees' offense went quiet, and you were missing one of your better hitters. And if you think you're going into their building where it's rocking up there for them, if you think you're going into the Rogers Center, you know, just as many people up there, more than we're at Citi Field, they have the best home field advantage in the league. The Mets are second. So you're not just going up into their building on that turf and doing anything against Kevin Gausman, who you've seen 300 times. They let Rodon down in that fifth inning. What is Peraza here for if he can't field the position and make the throws? He got a hit tonight, and he was able to steal a base and then advance to third, whatever. Like, what is Peraza here for? Play Yorbit Vivas. And I know Yorbit Vivas isn't in anybody's high standing after Acuna threw him out on Friday. But, like, with Peraza, man, make the damn throw. That should have been the last out. And then Volpe, I know. Come on down, Volpe, and come on down, Volpe haters. I told you guys to give it up. I told you guys give it a rest. There's no use. Volpe homers twice in the great comeback on Saturday night. And, you know, Volpe kind of gets off the schneid. And, well, all it takes is another bad throw, another error, 12 errors where he's leading the American League, not just shortstops. Like, he's leading the American League in errors. We'll hear from Aaron Boone on that. But ultimately, yeah, in that inning, they let Rodon down, not being able to make the plays behind him. It doesn't matter who you line up. You can line up Marcus Stroman, Ian Hamilton as the opener, Alan Winans. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you line up to pitch against Toronto if they are grounding into outs and you can't make the plays. And that's their game. That's what they do. They put the ball in the play, and they dare you to throw the ball a little bit off. And I put some on Goldie, too. Goldie's got to pick that second one. But it was like it was in his head because Peraza pulled him off the bag. Then here comes Volpe pulling him off the bag in the same type of stretch. And, that's the game right there. They didn't need any more runs after that. They didn't need any more runs. They would win 4-1. Just catch you sleeping a little bit in the fifth inning with four runs. And you're not going to do anything to come back. You're just going to go down quietly and fade into the Toronto night. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I mean, we'll talk about David Wright weekend. Honestly, I was on Saturday, so I'm coming off of two Yankee losses. I came on after Friday night's game, and I said, I'm not going to lean too much into the negative because it's just the first game out of the gate. And then Saturday, I think I was watching the game, and I was on Twitter, and when nobody covered second base, I was like, all right, I'm out. I don't know what these guys are doing. The fundamentals, the defense, it's the same old thing with the Yankees. It's the exact same thing. So, you know, I just don't expect Eugenio Suarez to change anything. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about all the other options. Or Spencer Jones going crazy over the weekend. We'll talk about him too. But all in all, do you feel like this Yankees team is a couple trade deadline additions away from going back to the World Series and winning it? I don't. I can't even say the sentence. I don't. So I'm not trading Spencer Jones at this deadline. They have some just internal issues, man. When the going gets tough, And like I'm looking at Rodon's face right now. Rodon being the guy that you have to make the plays behind because he can't overcome his shoelaces being untied. He can't overcome his back itching too much in the middle of the game. Like, you got to come through with those plays, and the Yankees don't. And then the manager of the team is going to tell you that it's fine and that it's just a couple plays, and they just keep going through the motions, and I don't know when it's going to change. So, yeah, we'll talk about the weekend that was, a little bit of, you know, things coming out of the Atlanta series, Jazz going back and forth with the Braves. Was it the Braves hitting coach or pitching coach, hitting coach, Eddie Perez? You know, we'll talk about David Wright weekend and some of the stuff from that trade deadline as well. But damn, I need football, man. As I'm watching, I'm thinking the Mets and Yankees are about to lose tonight. At least some of you guys out here that call a fan and say that you just root for New York, you like the Mets and the Yankees. Well, what a night for you. As soon as the Yankees lost, the Mets came back. Me, I am eyeing up fantasy football drafts. We got 7 weeks till 7 hours of commercial free. Like, I cannot wait until we can just start talking about training camp too much. I saw Kayvon Thibodeau wrestling, and that got me fired up. Like, oh yeah, let's go. Let's get to the football, because neither one of these teams are winning the World Series, in my opinion. We're just going to, you know, keep our fingers crossed and hope that they make trades and land people at the deadline. But there are other teams that need relief help and need bats as well. It isn't as simple as the Mets and Yankees getting their shopping list. And yeah, I don't know. My confidence isn't too high right now. They gotta make me a believer. They gotta change my mind. I think the Mets have a little bit more of what it takes, but a lot harder road. I think the Yankees have a little less of what it takes and a lot easier of a road. But yeah, fool me, can't fool me again. Can't wait till we can just overanalyze practice footage from these beat reporters' cell phones.